morning. A couple quick announcements. Don't forget, today we have the potluck after the service. If you didn't bring anything, don't worry about it. There's plenty of food. Please stay and eat. Unwrapped presents for the Central Davidson High School are due today, so if you can get them over here by, you know, 4 o'clock at least, just put them on the pew over by the tree. The 2020 offering envelopes, they've been moved out to the to your box. If you hadn't collected those yet, you can get them there. Audit reports. If you're a committee chair, you need to go ahead and get your audit reports together. We will be doing those on February the 2nd, I believe. Do we have any announcements from the audience? Sheila Haynes passed away yesterday afternoon, about 6 o'clock. Don't know any arrangements as of yet. As soon as I get those, we'll put them out on Google Groups so you'll be aware. Once again, we want to thank Pastor Talent for coming out and helping us. I'll let you know that at our last council meeting, we voted to bring Pastor Talon on as our interim pastor. So we thank you for that. He will be operating under a part-time basis. So once we get all the details worked out, everybody will be aware. So once again, thank you, Pastor Talon.
So this is a thank you note to all the loving members of Holly Grove Lutheran Church. Our family wanted to say thank you for the love and support shown to Betty Roberts. She loved this church so much. She thought of each of you as brothers and sisters in Christ. Nothing pleased Mom more than coming to church and loving each of you. Thank you for your many acts of kindness, for your phone calls, visits, meals, caroling at her house, and every act of fellowship. Our family felt especially blessed by the loving bereavement luncheon provided by the church following Mom's funeral. It was so special to be surrounded by loving family and friends at this difficult time. Also, we loved your mother's rose garden. Much love, Kathy, John, Houston, and Linda Roberts.
Thank you. We're having birthdays today. Let's see, John Lohr, Jan Watkins, Marty Varner, Kim Payne. Happy anniversary to Frank and Janine Hamilton, Norris and Kara Feeney. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The new officer, I will say, president of the council through the year. Lynn Dennis is the vice president. Marie Palmer will be the secretary. And Mr. Chip Lohr will remain as treasurer.
Thank you. invite those who are able to stand as we join in confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people. Turn us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin
and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Have mercy on us, Lord, and hear us all of prayer.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you know that we cannot place our trust in our own powers. As you protected the infant Jesus, so defend us and all the needy from harm and adversity. For he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
If the kids want to come up, I'll talk to them for a little bit. Come on, Grace. Well, I hope you guys had a Merry Christmas. Was it a Merry Christmas? So you know the story of Jesus' birth, right? How they went and he was born in the inn and was put in a manger because there was no room in the inn and everything. What happened after he was born?
A lot of people came to see him.
A lot of people came to see him. He got gifts. What happened that we wouldn't have wanted to happen to Jesus? Was there a mean king that went around and he knew that there was a baby born that wanted to take his power? And what did he do to all the babies? He had them killed, right? And so there was this angel that came to Joseph, and what did he tell Joseph? He said, take your newborn baby and your wife and go to Egypt and stay there until I tell you to come back. So they stayed there for a while. And then the angel came back to Joseph, and he said, okay, the mean king is gone. You can now return to Israel. And so that's what happened, right? So there's a psalm, and I'm going to have to cheat because I don't have the best memory. There's a psalm that I think is good to remember. Let me backtrack a little bit. The reason I'm going to tell you this psalm is, have you ever felt scared or like you didn't know what was going to happen in a situation? And it kind of puts you down, right? You were like, I don't know what's going to happen. This is not where I want to be right now. But then you have to think. Jesus is always there, right? They're going to protect you. So Psalm 91 says, evil cannot get close to you. Harm cannot get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. So that psalm says that God is always going to have an angel with you, right? And he's never going to let you fall. He's never going to let you get hurt. Will you fall and get hurt on the playground or something? Yeah. But you know, he means that he's not going to let anything really bad happen to you, right? Kind of like he did with Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus. And that's how Jesus became the man he became, right? Because otherwise, he wouldn't have made it. And we wouldn't be where we are right now, would we? So always keep in mind that even if you feel scared or uncertain, there's this little guardian angel watching over you that God sent, okay? Let's pray. Dear Lord, continue to protect us and guide us in our times of need. Always remind us that you and an angel will always be there. Amen. Thank you for coming.
The first reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because all that the Lord has done for us and the great favor to the house of Israel, that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely and become their savior in their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them away all the days of old. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm appointed for this morning is number 148. Let's read responsibly by whole verse. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens and praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars.
Praise him, you high heavens and you waters
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command.
Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven.
He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord.
The second reading is from the book of Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. For the ones who suffer and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to all my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregations, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God had given me. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those all their lives who were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the services of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. This Sunday is often called the Sunday of the Holy Innocents. It is, in fact, one of the darker stories of Christmas, indeed of the New Testament. But it's entirely consistent about what we know of Herod. Caesar once said of Herod, "It is better to be his pig than his son." He was extremely jealous of his power, and over the course of time killed many of the people who were close to him, including several sons as well as his wife, though he later had a tower built in her honor. There is the idea, the understanding from many, that he probably was mentally ill because he was so fearful. He had dreams and would experience nightmares about other people and what would happen. But there are numerous stories about his cruelty and his violence, about how he hunted down people who were opposed to what he did and said and had them killed. So many people have questioned this story, whether it's true, but in fact, it's entirely consistent with what Herod was like. The reason people question it is because we don't have other information outside the Bible about it. The Bible story, as I said, is consistent with what we do know of him, and it is consistent with the times in which he lived. Sometimes you wonder, how could you have a lot of children killed and nobody would notice it? But the fact is, Bethlehem was a small town. There would not have been large numbers of children, usually estimated less than a dozen boys who would have been subject to this violence. Because of that, the fact that it can't be documented elsewhere is not a particular problem, because we have it in Scripture. And Matthew shared the story because he wanted them to understand the context of Jesus' birth and life. He wanted them also to understand that Jesus was a type of Moses, that he was leading his people to freedom. And so the reference is there to the time in Egypt. Egypt, Alexandria, had a large Jewish community, probably one of the largest that there was in the ancient world aside from Israel. There would have been friends there. There would have been perhaps even distant kin there who would have helped them make a life for themselves. This past week, there was something in the news about Jesus and his family being refugees when he was born. But he wasn't, because Bethlehem was Joseph's hometown, if you will. He was simply going back to where he had relatives and friends and probably owned property. But they did later become refugees when they fled to Egypt, to this foreign country where they had to take shelter because of fear of the king. Herod was a very powerful king. He was well respected in many ways by his Roman overseers, even though, as I said, Caesar described him as not a good person. But as long as he kept things under control, he was left in power. This experience of such violence seems in sharp contrast to our Christmas season and all that we celebrate and remember. But we live in a world that is broken. It's broken in many ways, in many places. Last night I watched a movie I'd read about this week in an article about this story from Matthew. The movie was called The Innocents. And this movie is a retelling of something that actually occurred at the end of World War II. There was a convent in Poland, and during the last days of World War II, a Russian platoon invaded the convent and assaulted and raped all the nuns. It was apparently a very vicious attack and went on for days. Some of them were killed, others survived, but a number of them became pregnant as a result of that. The mother superior of the convent developed a severe case of syphilis as a result of what happened. When the French were in the area, there was a young physician, Madeleine Polliac, and one of the nuns escaped from the convent, or didn't exactly escape, but she left without approval to try to find a doctor to help one of the women who was having difficulty with her pregnancy. She found this woman, and the woman herself was not Christian. She was raised as a communist in France. But nevertheless, she went to the convent and heard the story and helped to birth the first of the children that was born with a C-section because of the circumstances of the mother. Later, she would go back. The mother superior struggled with what to do. In that time and in that place, if anyone found out what had happened and that the nuns had become pregnant, they would have closed the nunnery or the convent, and the women would have been subject to humiliation and shame. And she was trying to protect them. So this physician, this young French physician, and they sought out specifically a physician who was not Polish, were Russian for obvious reasons, but not Polish, because Polish was heavily Catholic, and if the word got out in Poland about what had happened, they would have suffered the consequences of having their convent closed. This woman was able to help them, and she went back several times, finally indeed invoking the aid of another physician who was a male, that they allowed to come in when all the babies were due. And they delivered the babies. Most of them survived. But then they were confronted with the necessity of dealing with the problem, because if people found out the babies were there, they would have the same issue that the convent would be closed. They came up with the idea, perhaps from the physician herself, of taking in other orphans. Because if they took in orphans, then no one would know that the nuns themselves had birthed those children. But they could keep their children close and not have to give them up for adoption, while they also cared for the many, many orphans in that area. One of the things that had happened in Poland was, near the end of the war, the Russian army was encamped near a river. There was an uprising in Warsaw, and the Russian army remained encamped outside of Poland and let the Germans fight the uprising, and tens of thousands died in that uprising, and then they went in and took over. If they had invaded sooner, all those who had died in that, or many of those who had died in the uprising, would not likely have died. It was a deliberate decision by the Soviet army to leave them. As a result of turning the nunnery or the convent into an orphanage, the women were saved. Some had actually at that point decided to leave the convent. They were so broken and hurt by what had happened and feeling that God had abandoned them. But many stayed, and the orphanage was able to care for many of those children who had been left orphans because of the war. It was truly a miracle. And it was not even known until just a few years ago, when the woman's nephew found her diaries and read the story in her diaries. It was then made into a movie. She herself actually died in a car wreck not long after this happened, while she was working for the French government in trying to resolve conflict and problems in the post-war era. Evil happens in the world. We heard stories this week about violence. We heard stories this week about terror. But God's presence can sustain people. God's presence can even find miraculous answers at times to the struggles and difficulties in life. So he warned Joseph, and even though those children died, God's plan and anticipation of Christ's work survived because Joseph was warned and went to Egypt and then was able to come back. These women, some of them died, some of them lost their children, but the convent survived. Most of the women survived, and they not only raised their children, but they raised the orphans left by the war. Isaiah, in the lesson we read today, is part of a longer poem or song. It's about the leaders of the time turning away from God. But the beginning verses we read today talk about God's saving act in bringing Israel out of Egypt. We as Christians see in that act a promise of Christ's work and bringing us out of the power of sin through his sacrifice. The end of the book of Isaiah was written to explain how Israel had ended up in exile, but also to encourage hope in the face of suffering and loss. It acknowledges the reality of sin, but offers the promise of a better future and reconciliation with God. We live in a time that is also imperfect and broken. As the body of Christ, the church stands in a similar place to the prophet Isaiah. We are to offer hope to a broken world. But more than just speak about hope, we have to seek to create it for people's lives. We stand between those who take a sort of Pollyanna view that everything will be okay, and those who are filled with hate and anger and want to destroy to make a better world. In the aftermath of the war, the discovery of the atomic bomb and later the hydrogen bombs, there were some who saw only a bright future. They thought because the bombs were so terrible, no one would ever dare use them. And then a decade later, we experienced what happened for those who remember or have studied in the Cuban Missile Crisis and thought we were on the edge of an atomic war. Their view that somehow that would prevent future wars turned out to be not correct because human sin gets in the way. Other people saw the invention of atomic energy as a great threat that the world will end. Einstein would say the war is won, but peace is not. The great powers united in war have become divided over peace settlements. The people of the world were promised freedom from fear, but the fact is that fear among nations has increased since the end of the war. The world was promised freedom from want, but vast areas of the world face starvation, while elsewhere people live in abundance. More than 60 years later, the world still struggles with those issues. But the fact is that we have made a better world in many ways. You don't often hear about it, but the rate of poverty in the world has dropped dramatically over the last two decades. The number of people who are hungry has dropped dramatically over the last two decades. It doesn't mean the job is finished. There are still too many poor and too many hungry and too many struggle who don't have access to medical care. But the world has been changed in many ways, and much of that change has come because people in the church of Christ, the body of Christ, seek to make this a better world, seek to serve. Lutheran Family Services, Lutheran Services for the Aging, World Hunger, Lutheran Disaster Response. We go into places where other people do not, and we seek to make a difference and improve their lives. There are other groups that go into places that are suffering in Africa, in South America, in Asia, and seek to change the world. Yes, sin is still there. There are still places in the world where it's unsafe to be a Christian. There are places in the world where it's unsafe to be a woman. There are places in the world where children are not safe. But the world has changed. Hope remains and lives. Christ's church is called to be in that middle ground, expressing hope while at the same time acknowledging the brokenness of the world and trying to change it. Jesus and his family survived Herod's attempt to overcome God's will. When Jesus died on the cross, Christ rose from the grave, overturning Satan's hope that he had won and defeated God. Hope won out. Neither Herod nor Satan could succeed in eliminating God's will and overcoming God's love. Now we as the family of God are called to share the good news that in the end God will triumph, but in the meantime we're called to live out our faith, seeking to share God's love and God's grace each day in how we live. God is present in the brokenness. He was present in Bethlehem with those families who lost their children. He was present with Joseph and Mary in Egypt. He was present with Jesus' disciples as he hung on the cross. He was present with those nuns in that convent and with those babies and with those orphans. God is present with them, but God uses us to make a difference in the world. But God is always there in the good and the bad. Roseanne Cash wrote a song after her father's death. God is in the roses, the petals and the thorns. Storms out on the ocean, the souls who will be born. And every drop of rain that falls, falls for those who mourn. God is in the roses and the thorns. God is in the good times and the bad. God is with us in times of celebration and joy, as we celebrate Jesus' birth and coming. God is with us in times of loss and suffering, when we mourn, when we struggle with illness for those we love or ourselves. God is present and calls us to help make his presence real for all people, for the sake of his Son, for all those who have suffered for his sake. God is in the roses, the petals, and the thorns. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us reaffirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. It should be on the screen or page 105. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
With joy and confidence, let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for the church, the world, and the needs of all people. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for making us your family and Jesus' brothers and sisters, and for giving us the privilege of calling you Abba. Guide and protect your one holy church. Let it cherish and share the gifts of life, forgiveness, and union with your dear Son. Give it grace to proclaim your gifts boldly and faithfully, and to bestow them generously, so that the family you have created in Christ may grow and flourish. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that your Son Jesus is always cradled in the hearts of the people of this congregation, and that we always speak and act in ways that are worthy of our calling as his brothers and sisters. We pray that more and more we think, pray, speak, and act as your disciples, bearing the great gift of Jesus' love to everyone we meet. Lord, in your mercy. On account of Jesus, innocent children were killed by Herod. We pray for our sisters and brothers across the world who even today are tortured and killed because they worship Jesus as Lord. Protect them from evil. Keep their faith strong and their hearts pure. By their witness to the babe of Bethlehem, call their tormentors to repentance and to faith. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all who care for the poor, sick, grieving, and lonely in this season of joy. Shine the light of your love upon those in nursing homes, mental institutions, and hospitals. Grant your mercy and guidance to prisoners and to all who are addicted or despairing. Be the sure hope and protector of the homeless and refugees, especially little children, and lead them to safe shelter. Lord, in your mercy. Give all leaders a holy fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Especially we pray for our President Donald, Governor Roy, and all who make, administer, enforce, and judge our laws. Teach them your ways of faithfulness and justice. Bring healing and hope to people overwhelmed by natural disasters or human evil. Turn people from hatred and help us to live in peace. Lord, in your mercy. Bless and protect our military, police, first responders, and all who protect life and liberty. Grant them wisdom, integrity, and courage. Let the innocent, the weak, and the vulnerable call on them confidently. Bring them safely home to their loved ones and heal those who are wounded in body, mind, or spirit. Lord, in your mercy. O Jesus, Son of righteousness, risen with healing in your wings, let the light of your countenance shine upon everyone troubled by pain, confusion, sorrow, sin, or grief. Especially we pray for Burnett, Gary, Bill, Joanne, Walter, Sheila, Aldine, Scott, Teresa, Mandy, Brody, Sharon, Gracie, Jean, Dwight, Noah, James, Lore, Tyler, Judy, Robert, the family of Joyce Roach, Gary, Garland, Cleston, Kenneth, Charlotte, Colton, Lynn, Kay, Jordan, Madison, the family of Ben Klein, Randy, Tommy, Ray, our servicemen and women, those unemployed and looking for work. Restore them to wholeness, health, and hope, and to all who love them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we remember those who died trusting in your mercy. Comfort all whose grief still runs deep during this holy season. We pray that you would bring each of us through the dangers and sorrows of this life to your eternal home when our time on earth is finished. Lord, in your mercy, hear and mercifully grant us, dear Lord, all that we ask that conforms to your good and perfect will, for your name's sake, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be a world of sights for your gracious presence. And Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
O God, we give thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all we need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, remind you that we have lots and lots of food in the fellowship hall. Please join us for dinner, lunch, and ask the Lord, dear, bless this food to our use and us thy service. Let us enjoy the fellowship of our fellow Christians. Let us go forth in the name of the Lord. Amen.